I don't, by the look of you, you might have been sleeping badly.
With so much distress, Doctor.
You may consult Dr. Watson about your insomnia later. Please, go on.
I heard a sound in the corridor outside my room. A dull, muffled sound. I got up, opened my door. Mr. Holmes, I believe I'm as strong-nerved as any man, but... The corridor was dark. Only one window, halfway along, threw a patch of light, pale light, on the floor. And into it, something was emerging. Something dark, crouching, and it was he. Crawling. No, creeping. Not quite on his hands and knees, more. Good God. More on his hands and feet. His face sunk between his hands. Creeping. But with ease. His eyes darting, and I was paralyzed. What's that?
It's only the bell downstairs.
The bell?
The doorbell. A caller.
Who could it be?
Come, just a minute. Mrs. Hudson will discover who.
I'm sorry, Jack.
It's all right.
I knew I'd find you here, and I simply had to see you. After what happened last night, I just couldn't wait for you to return. I couldn't remain another night in that... Mr. Holmes, I do apologize for this intrusion and, for my agitation.
Think nothing of that, Miss Presbrey. Any fresh light you may throw on your father's case will be most welcome.
Shall I have Mrs. Hudson bring up some tea?
No, thank you, Dr. Watson. I'm quite recovered.
Do you feel able now to tell us what happened last night?
Go ahead, Edith. We may speak as freely to Dr. Watson as to Mr. Holmes.
Of course you may, of course you may. Do sit down, Miss Presbrey. We'll hear your account of last night's new evidence a little later. First, I'd like to hear more of your impressions of the change in your father since his engagement to Miss Morphy.
Alice.
Miss Alice Morphy, to whom your father became engaged in...
In June.
Within days of that happy but unexpected...
Well, yes, it was rather...
Yes, within days of that happy but unexpected announcement, he disappears to Prague and returns an altered man. Tell us a little more about that.
I don't quite see what you want
to... I confess neither do I, Mr. Holmes. After what I have told you, and when Edith has experienced something, we
your fiancé will, I'm sure, confirm, Miss Presbrey, that complete frankness is essential if we're to unravel this case, and complete trust in my method.
Huh? Jack? Very well. It was early in June. Very fine. Warm, as you'll no doubt remember. That day he was taking tea with the Morphys. Professor Morphy is his closest colleague. And I knew he and Alice were... they shared many interests. My interests... Anyway, I didn't go with him that day. I often did, but on that afternoon I'd been strangely restless, a slight headache. And the piano and my music is a great comfort to me.
Good afternoon, Edith.
Father and Alice. How are you, Alice?
I'm well, Edith. We could hear you playing as we came across the garden. Very sweet.
Sweet and sad. When I'm in this headachey mood, I begin with such a piece, then move to something more light and jolly.
And that is restorative.
Restorative? Oh, well, yes. It helps, sometimes.
How curious. But then you are artistic. All I can do in such a condition is lie down in a darkened room after taking one of my father's elixirs.
Is your father well?
Oh, yes. And perhaps imbibing elixirs of a different kind right now.
Imbibing?
In celebration, Edith. And perhaps you will play something more jolly now. Something downright joyful, I'd hope.
Something epithalamium. Is that the word?
It is, it is. Up, fair bride, and call thy stars from out their several boxes. Take thy, diamonds.
Rubies. Rubies, pearls, and diamonds.
Yes, and make thyself a constellation. A marriage song by John Donne.
Oh, I don't care for him. Mother used to read his sermons to me.
Oh, but in his youth, Alice, such lines he could spin. Love all alike, no season knows, nor clime, nor hours, days, months, which are the rags of time.
But I summon Ben Johnson to my case, dear George, when it comes to Donne.
George? You called my father?
Miss Morphy, your long...